is The Fantasy Show with Sho Ali and Matt Marchese on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It's Sunday morning, and you know what that means. It's time for The Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Good morning, Canada. Sho Ali and Matt Marchese with you. As always, week one in the books. Game one of week two also in the books. Got the news and notes. Start sits my favorite part of every Sunday as well. Your texts and tweets at the People's Text Line, 590-590, name and location. We'll get to those at the top of the next hour. But of course, Matt Marchese is saddled up for the ride today. Matt, how's it going this morning?
I'm very much ready for what should be an interesting week two. I'm working on a little bit less sleep than I normally would get, Sho. As okay. You know, things get a little hectic here around the Marchese household. Of course, the night before, I have to work earlier in the morning. So we're ready to go. But there's lots to get to today. Some big stars out. I know we got to start with the Thursday nighter, but people that we expected to be at the tops of their position for the year, not playing this week, so should be very, very interesting.
Isn't fantasy football fun, Matt? Everything is it's all full of promise, and then you make your drafts, you do your preseason rankings, and then week one comes and goes, and you're like, oh, this is nice. Every player on my team has a questionable tag or a doubtful tag. It's kind of nice, isn't it?
Yeah. What's the common line? Play fantasy football, they said. It would be fun, they said. Yeah. It's not going to be fun for some people. Like, there's some big names out, and it's so tough to overcome that. But that's why you listen to The Fantasy Show, because we've got the tools to help you win your week.
So this one was actually from, I'd seen this yesterday. There's always some, this guy's expected to play, this guy is not expected to play, that come out in the wee hours of Sunday morning before we even get started, from guys like Adam Schefter and Ian Rapoport. But this is actually from Ian Rapoport of NFL Network from yesterday. Colts wide receiver Michael Pittman Jr. with a quad injury has been downgraded to out versus the Jaguars. I was kind of worried this one was going to be one of those, like, oh, is he going to play? Is he not going to play? The Jags-Colts game is at 1 o'clock Eastern, so it's one of the early games. And it's always a kind of like a blessing in disguise when a woman who has some kind of out or questionable tag is playing in an early game, because then you can at least make the decision once the injury reports come out about an hour before kickoff. And the thing I hate, I got to say, Matt, the thing I hate about the injury stuff is – sometimes you'll never know, but I think because the NFL did away, remember a couple of years ago, they did away with the probable tag? Like, the probable tag doesn't exist anymore. It's not a thing that they use at all. There's questionable, and then there's doubtful. So if you are questionable, there's a chance that most players who will actually play on a Sunday will be listed as questionable at some point. It's good for, I guess, real life mind games for different teams, but not so much for our fantasy lineups.
Yeah, it's 100% accurate. The probable tag was at least helpful. And whenever I hear, when we talk about the questionable tag, I always think of the line from The League. And for those that haven't watched it, you need to watch it because it's hilarious. But Kevin, who's one of the main characters, is talking to Jay Cutler's wife, Kristen Cavallari, at the time.
Ex-wife now.
Yeah, ex-wife now. And he says, oh, your husband, he's the quarter thrower. Like, he's trying to play it off like he doesn't know exactly who he is, but he's a massive Bears fan. And he says, what is going on with Matt Forte's knee? And what is questionable? And she's like, questionable is your behavior right now. So that's the one thing that I always think about. But yeah, the Pittman injury, at least we know. And it was weird because we kind of got the mixed signals from Frank Reich, who said, you know, I'm pretty hopeful that he's going to play. And then yesterday he gets downgraded to out. Honestly, better for us that play the fantasy game, better for Michael Pittman in case of re-injury, because it could have been one of those situations where, yeah, he's playing, but he's nothing more than a decoy. And then you know how people get on Twitter. They start calling out Michael Pittman on Twitter, which is absolutely ridiculous. Don't do that. And then the other one that's really going to be interesting on how people approach it, and we'll talk about it later, Gabe Davis gets the questionable tag after a late ankle injury. They did practice yesterday, Buffalo, and they played tomorrow night. So that's going to be an interesting one, and we'll kind of guide you through how to handle that one.
two Monday night games as well. It's kind of weird, right? Because aren't there usually two Monday night games on the first week of the season?
One.
Yeah, there's only one Monday night game last week and two Monday night games here in week two. I don't know what that was about, but hey, weird. But either way, you're right. The decisions for games, like Sunday night decisions made on Sunday morning, because in theory you might hope Gabe Davis plays, because when he plays, he's probably going to be pretty good, but you might pass up a potential better play on Sunday, the 1 o'clock games Eastern or the 4:25 Eastern games to play Gabe Davis. And then what if he doesn't play? Then you might be hosed a little bit, right? So we'll get to all those injury news and notes as well a little later on. You know, I only ever watched the league for the very first time, like last year, for the very first time ever last year. I don't know what it was that stopped me from watching it, but I will say it's actually pretty good. You think the host of a fantasy football program would have watched it like when it first came out, but I don't know. I never really got around to watching it until last year.
Yeah, I watched it. I think I started watching it and they were into the last season, so I was very much behind as well. But I used to make it a tradition that I would watch the show every year before the start of fantasy football.
Like the whole show?
Yeah, because I'm a maniac. I'm ridiculous. Now, this year was not possible.
I was going to say, yeah, even a child, a newborn.
Well, not only that, like, I actually rewatched it once, and my wife got mad at me for rewatching it because she liked it so much. And she's not a huge fan of comedy. Like, right. she's very serious with a lot of things or doesn't get the humor. But she's like, you started watching that without me? I'm like, yeah, why? She's like, because it's such a funny show. Like, I want to watch it. I'm like, okay. Next time I'll include you in my viewing plans. We're in the middle of Brooklyn Nine-Nine now, so that's why that's why there was no league this time around.
The League and The Sopranos, my two pandemic shows. Those are the two shows I watched during
the best.
Two different shows, I will say. But The Sopranos, you and Josh Goldberg are the two guys who got me on to constantly hearing about it in the newsroom before the pandemic is what got me to watch it finally. But anyways, yeah, The League is definitely good. If you're a fantasy football fan and you have not watched The League, I definitely recommend it. Okay, let's get into the rest of these injury updates real quick. Then we'll do the Thursday nighter real quick. So from Adam Schefter, I see here, yeah, you mentioned the Gabe Davis. He is questionable for Monday night, added to injury report yesterday after taking part in a limited practice. Mike Evans listed as questionable with a calf injury, is expected to play versus the Saints. Bucks don't expect to know whether they will have wide receiver Julio Jones. He's questionable due to a new injury until they see how he feels during pregame warmups. Bucks running back Leonard Fournette, listed as questionable for Sunday due to a hamstring injury, is expected to play. Jameis Winston, questionable with a back injury, is expected to play. That one's not super surprising. Winston, he went into the tent last week, came out, and then basically led the Saints to a win. So I'm not super surprised that he is going to play. Also not super surprised he was listed as questionable basically all week. This is a big one, though. Saints running back Alvin Kamara, listed as questionable for Sunday due to a rib injury, a rib cartilage injury, is not expected to play versus the Buccaneers. So fire up your Taysom Hills, Matt. Fire them up.
Oh, star. I already know. I already had this, like, in one of my fantasy chats. Somebody's already talked about starting Taysom Hill, and I'm just like, okay, start him against the Bucs defense. That's fine. Go for it. Have fun.
Oh, Taysom Hill. Gosh, we said this last week, and I've said this before too, but he is going to be a fantasy Grinch until the end of time, probably.
Yep. I still can't believe he is with Sean Payton not there. So it's clearly not a Sean Payton love affair.
Yeah, look, I honestly don't get it. I'll say this about Taysom Hill. If you're considering starting him, the week you think it's all going to line up for Taysom Hill is going to be the week Jameis Winston throws the ball to Michael Thomas and like Chris Olave and other guys like 60 times. And he's not going to throw the ball, or they're not going to give the ball carry wise to Taysom Hill. I don't know. It's like, it's whatever it lines up for Taysom Hill is when you, is when it's going to bite you. And when you don't want it to, when he's on your bench is when he's going to blow up. I see a Packers wide receiver update. Alan Lazard, listed as questionable for Sunday night, is expected to play versus the Bears. George Kittle, questionable for Sunday with that groin injury. He didn't play last week. He is not expected to play versus the Seahawks this morning. So those are all the updates from Schefter. I see one here from Rappaport. Wide receiver, Bengals wide receiver T. Higgins. Concussion has progressed through the protocols. Barring a setback, he is expected to play today. DeAndre Swift expected to play against the Commanders, but the team may have to be selective about his usage, sources say to Ian Rappaport, with that ankle injury. Again, there's Kadarius Toney. He dealt with the hamstring tightness. He is expected to play. And yeah, Julio Jones, true game time decision. So a lot of big stars for your lineup. We'll navigate them in more detail as to what you should do when we get to those particular start sits. But still, a lot of stars out this week, Matt.
Yeah, it's one of those, and it's early. Like, usually this happens by week five or six, and now we're dealing with stars out so early. So we will help you navigate through. This is why you listen to The Fantasy Show.
And don't forget,
we'll make it happen for you.
Absolutely, yeah. Send in your texts as well, 590-590 to the People's Text Line, name and location. I see a whole bunch here already. There's some from last night as well, so we'll have a whole bunch to get to at the top of the hour. Let's run down the Thursday nighter, though. Week two is already basically underway. The 27-24 win for the Kansas City Chiefs over the Los Angeles Chargers. Justin Herbert, the end of that game was truly wild. There was the Gerald Everett play where he was asking to come out of the game. He looked completely gassed. They'd run a hurry up to the line. He basically runs the wrong way. Miscommunication, maybe due to him being tired, whatever you want to attribute it to. He throws Justin Herbert throws what ends up being the game-winning pick to the Chiefs defense, to a seventh-round rookie, no less. The Chiefs come back. Herbert gets pile-driven into the ground. He suffers a rib cartilage injury of his own. He barely can walk across the first down marker on third down. And then on fourth down, rips a bullet down the field right to the 5-yard line or something. It was a truly wacky ending to that game, despite the Chargers losing. But of course, the health of Justin Herbert is going to be paramount going forward, Matt.
Yeah, it really is. And if he can't play, I mean, Chase Daniel is certainly not the answer. Chase Daniel has made a great career of just making money as a backup quarterback and not actually having to play, which is nice. Listen, if Justin Herbert's out, that's a downgrade, as we know, to everybody, which kind of sucks because we have our teams, but we like watching the stars, and Justin Herbert is a star. They call him day to day. I mean, that injury looked awful. What was the most surprising thing to me was he could barely move. And then there was another pass right after the pass to DeAndre Carter where he tried to throw like an out route and he looked like he was done. Like, I'm like, get this man off the field.
Yeah.
And then he throws the dart to Josh Palmer in the end zone, and which saves Josh Palmer's fantasy day, by the way. So it's not great when a star goes out. Mike Williams, as we should have expected, because the last two times that he's played at Arrowhead, he's had over 100 yards receiving, did it again. Like, Mike Williams never went away. It's sometimes it just happens that Mike Williams is as boom or bust as it kind of gets, it feels. And when he's on, he's one of the best receivers in the NFL. When they are not targeting him and he's not necessarily getting open, he's a tough start because of that boom or bust capabilities. And on the Chiefs side, show, I mean, the best fantasy player that the Chiefs had was their defense, because Mahomes, I laughed at this after, because remember when Patrick Mahomes said before the season started, you know, for you fantasy players, it's going to be a different guy every week. And this week it was nobody. It wasn't even Travis Kelce this week.
Yeah, barely Travis Kelce.
Yeah, like Travis Kelce is going to end up finishing as a back end tight end one. Like, he's probably going to finish in the 12 range with the week that he had. It was an offensive disappointment by the Chiefs. I thought the whole game was played very conservatively on both sides of the ball. Like, when did Brandon Staley be the guy that folds instead of going all in? Like, that was probably the biggest shock that I had seen. And for a guy that supposedly trusts his defense, not going for it on fourth and, you know, three or fourth and four with Justin Herbert as your quarterback, that kind of told me that maybe he doesn't trust his defense a lot, especially against Patrick Mahomes. And that Chiefs offense looked pretty normal. Like, Juju Smith-Schuster wasn't all that much of a factor. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, same thing. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was really the only guy that looked really good, but the Chiefs got to win, so they don't care about our fantasy teams.
No, absolutely not. It does prove that I think Edwards-Helaire is the guy to own in that offense as far as running backs go. I mean, Jerick McKinnon and Isaiah Pacheco are going to be guys we talk about from time to time, but it certainly seems like, barring an injury, it will be. And Edwards-Helaire has a pretty long leash now after 2 weeks of playing pretty well, generally speaking, even though the touches haven't always been there. So I have a feeling we might not be talking too much about Isaiah Pacheco this year, for example, based on all the preseason hype that we had been kind of wondering, rumbling about him. I will say on Juju, real quick, I'm still holding on Juju. I'm not super worried about him just quite yet. It was a tough matchup, Chargers defense-wise. And they also, because it was Patrick Mahomes, they did not rush more than four a lot of the game, which is what happened in against the Cardinals. Cards in week one rushed a whole ton of guys, and Mahomes made them pay. Not so much for the Chargers defense. So as a result, there was a lot of DBs and lighter linebackers clogging the various zones out there. So not a lot of space for Juju to run around. So we'll see how that progresses. But I think going forward, you do have to downgrade Juju in your rankings. Real quick, before we get to our start sits, Matt, Austin Eckler didn't touch the ball a lot. By the end of the game, he had 9 receptions for 55 yards through the air, I should say. And he had 14 carries for 39 yards on the ground. Is the usage troubling to you, given that when Keenan Allen comes back, Keenan Allen will probably eat into some of those target share through the air? And then also the 9 catches for 55 yards, I want to say like 5 of those catches came when the game was probably a little bit out of reach at the end there.
Well, to me, it does feel like regardless of how good the Chargers defense is, they're going to be in some shootouts here. And it's also because of how fast they play on offense. That's why I'm a little bit less concerned about Austin Eckler's usage right now. And the passing game usage is fine. I think he's going to get his. My concern is how they use him on early downs, because like the fact that they're mixing in both Sony Michel and Joshua Kelly at this point, that's the worrisome part, because usually it was just they would rotate one guy in. I'm assuming they want to keep Austin Eckler more fresh for later in the year, because he did have the injury issue last year. Like that hamstring injury was a big deal last season. He still ended up being a stud, but yeah, he's going to get used in the passing game. I want to see what his red zone usage is, because Austin Eckler's a guy that can get into the end zone, and that's where he's going to make his money for you, because he's one of the better red zone threats as a running back, and the Chargers just need to get there, and I think he's going to prove fantasy worthy. Not sure that he's going to finish in the top 3 if it keeps going like this. He's going to need some help for sure, and this is such a weird thing to say because he's such a good running back. Maybe he needs an injury to one of Josh Kelly or Sony Michel to reach his full potential, which is probably the dumbest thing that I've ever said, but it actually makes sense in some roundabout way.
Well, I know what you mean, because right now, less goal line and red zone work for Austin Eckler, or less than you would have expected, given that Austin Eckler was probably drafted in the top 3, top 5 at the very worst, right? So I think you definitely want to see more red zone work. It was a little bit alarming to see Sony Michel get a couple of goal line carries, but week 2, we'll have to see how these situations evolve going forward, especially if they want to save Justin Herbert from any more pain, and they probably want to hand the ball off a little more, and Austin Eckler certainly is a talented enough running back to warrant doing that. But that's a quick check of the Thursday night game between the Chargers and Chiefs. And why don't we start our start sits, Matt? We'll begin with Dolphins at Ravens. And again, if you want any start sit questions, text us on the People's Text Line, 590-590, name and location. We'll get to all of them at the top of the next hour. Even if we don't answer them on the air, Matt and I will hop on the phone after the show is done and we'll answer all your texts off the air before kickoff at 1 p.m. Eastern. But Dolphins-Ravens is our first start sit of this Sunday here in week 2. And beyond the obvious guys of Tyreek Hill, most people probably are going to start Jalen Waddle, I would think, as a WR2. Waddle set an NFL record for most receptions by a rookie wide receiver. Only 5 targets last week, but still, he did burn some of the Patriots DBs for a touchdown after they ran into each other. A couple of them took a weird routes to the football. But apart from Hill, Waddle, I would say Chase Edmonds as well. I'm not sure anyone's really starting Raheem Mostert or Cedric Wilson out here. Mike Gesicki, perhaps, but there are probably better options for you out there on the waiver wire.
Yeah, this is a pretty quick one. Tua would be the interesting one here. And part of the reason is the Ravens have their top 4 projected corners are hurt. Marlon Humphrey missed Friday's practice. Marcus Peters, he's been banged up. He hasn't played since 2020. Brandon Stevens has missed the last 2 practices, and Kyle Fuller's out for the season. So this is a situation where, dare I say, that Tua is a back end our back end QB one in the conversation as a high end mid range QB two. Like there's a big range here, because I do like the Ravens defense still, especially their pass rush. Threw for 270 last week, but it did feel like a lot of dink and dunk. Throw the short ball to Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle and let them kind of do their thing. So Tua would be the only other guy that I'm considering. I'm not starting Mike Gesicki. He seems like this offense just does not want to use him, which is a shame, because he's one of the better athletically profiled tight ends that we've ever seen. Forget just of recent memory, that we've ever seen. Chase Edmonds, 16 touches to Raheem Mostert's 16 to 6. And he had 4 catches. Chase Edmonds is the clear guy to own in that Miami backfield. And they're going to use him. They're paying him. Like we say, show, follow the money.
Absolutely. Yeah. Look, it was 65 total yards for Chase Edmonds. Not a special amount of yards by any means, but the usage rate and the snap counts were basically elite. They were essentially exactly where you'd want them to be. So after week one, I don't think any overreaction should be had. I would still start Chase Edmonds this week, even against the Ravens defense, because you gotta think that with all the injuries you listed, there's going to be a lot of checkdowns for Tua if he needs to. And Chase Edmonds is that guy. On the Ravens side of things, you're starting Lamar Jackson. You're probably starting Rashad Bateman as a WR3, but I mean, I imagine there's going to be a lot of Rashad Bateman questions on the text line, because there are probably better options here. I mean, apart from Mark Andrews and Lamar Jackson, J.K. Dobbins, as we said, is unlikely to play. Monitor that, but it doesn't seem like he's going to play despite pushing. They're going to be very careful with their top running back. I honestly do think when it comes to Dobbins, Matt, that he is a special talent. I'm not sure we'll ever 100% see it in this particular Baltimore Ravens offense, because Lamar Jackson has some pretty ridiculous legs of his own. But having said that, they're going to be careful with him. If he doesn't play, I don't think I'm going to bother putting Kenny and Drake or Mike Davis into my lineup. It's really just Lamar Jackson or Mark Andrews, really.
I'm still going to start Rashad Bateman. And for those that picked up Devin Duvernay, like we talked about him on our waiver wire pod, I'm leaving him on the bench. DeMarcus Robinson actually played in the most single receiver sets, more than Duvernay, more than Bateman. So DeMarcus Robinson is actually a guy that you should just keep an eye on this week. I think he had the same amount of targets and catches as Duvernay did. He obviously didn't have the 2 touchdowns, but he's playing more. And DeMarcus Robinson, we've seen, he's shown flashes in the past with the Chiefs. I'd be interesting to see what his usage is today. Obviously not starting any of those two guys, but yeah, it's Bateman, it's Andrews, and it's Lamar for me. Dobbins unlikely to play, of course. I agree on the Dobbins point. I just wonder if he's ever going to be healthy, because he's so good when he is. It's just coming off the injury. They're being super cautious, and they need to be, because they still don't even have Gus Edwards back. So, you know, Kenyon Drake, not touching. Mike Davis, not touching. Keep me with those three guys.
Gus the Bus. Yeah, no, the return of Gus the Bus has not happened yet. J.K. Dobbins, he was so good when he was a Buckeye at Ohio State. It was ridiculous the kind of things he would do. I do hope he comes back and is healthy, but it doesn't look like that's going to be this week. And on Rashad Bateman, the only reason I'm a little less bullish on him this week is because, like last week when we talked about Devontae Parker, I would imagine the top receiver or one of the most athletic receivers perhaps for each team whenever they play in Miami is always going to see Xavien Howard, and I would imagine Rashad Bateman is going to see a lot of Xavien Howard. So maybe that means DeMarcus Robinson, like you're saying, Matt, is going to be the beneficiary of some extra targets. Let's go to Jets at Browns. Okay, are you starting any New York Jet this week?
Man, I mean, Michael Carter is probably a decent start. I think he had 10 targets. But here's my whole concern with all this. Joe Flacco threw 59 times last week. He's not throwing 59 times again, especially against the Browns. And that's the concern that I have, because if there was ever a mirage of usage, it was last week in that Jets game. Because is Michael Carter going to get 10 targets a game? No,
that'd be nice.
He's absolutely not. We know. Yeah, of course it would be nice, especially because people were drafting him later in drafts. But I mean, Elijah Moore does feel like a bit of a wide receiver 3 play this week. The Browns did give up a ton to Robbie Anderson last week. So this is not out of the realm of possibility that Elijah Moore ends up being a little bit better than we thought he initially might be this week. Garrett Wilson is also a super interesting play. He was drafted high by the New York Jets, and he could be a flex play. He had 8 targets last week. I understand Joe Flacco is not going to be throwing the ball again that many times, but Garrett Wilson is special. Like, there was the one catch, he has to come back to the ball at like 4 yards past the sticks. He ends up beating 3 guys to get to the first down marker, and that's why they drafted Garrett Wilson. Talk about a guy that was really good at Ohio State. He would be one of them. And I think he's going to end up being a super interesting play. I know Corey Davis led the Jets in receiving last week. I don't think that that's going to be a thing going forward, especially with the talent that Elijah Moore and Garrett Wilson have.
Yeah, 9 targets for Corey Davis, 6 catches, 77 yards. He did have a pretty nasty drop, which was not great considering it would have been a first down. But I think you're probably right. I think Elijah Moore is still the guy. And dynasty leagues or keeper leagues, I don't mind Garrett Wilson. But as long as Joe Flacco is the quarterback for this offense at this stage of his career, it's going to handcuff basically everyone on this entire offense. And on the Browns side, look, you're starting Nick Chubb. You're starting Kareem Hunt. You're probably starting Amari Cooper if you're in a real pinch, but generally speaking, he was an afterthought to the run game as this entire Browns offense goes through the running game. Just 3 of 6 targets for 17 yards for Amari Cooper. And again, it all goes through Chubb. It all goes through Hunt. Those guys are no-brainer starts. I don't think anyone's really starting Jacoby Brissett either.
If you're starting Jacoby Brissett, you've got some real issues on your hands. Kareem Hunt had 15 touches and 2 touchdowns. Nick Chubb had 23 touches. 38 running back touches split between 2 guys. And those are pretty elite touches. Like, Kareem Hunt, you could absolutely make the argument that is going to play as an RB2 with that kind of usage for the rest of the year because he's that good. The one guy, and I agree with you on Cooper, he's probably going to see a lot of Sauce Gardner today, which is not a good thing for Amari Cooper, especially with who's throwing him the ball. But Donovan Peoples-Jones was the number one wideout for the Browns after week 1. Donovan Peoples-Jones is a good receiver, big bodied. He's athletic. He can be that deep target for them. And he's certainly a guy that they will look at in the red zone. I have a feeling that after this week, Donovan Peoples-Jones is going to be near the top of our list on the waiver wire pod show. I really do believe that.
Hey Matt, here's my danger zone pick. Okay. For Jets at Browns. The third highest scoring player for the Browns in this game will be kicker Cade York.
That's what's honestly, I wouldn't be surprised by that at all. not one bit.
He had a fadeaway. If you haven't seen the kick he kicked last week to win it for the Browns over the Panthers, and Baker Mayfield's face was just it's delicious when you're watching then to that game. But a fadeaway like knuckleball kick from 58 yards. Guy's a rookie. It was absolutely tremendous. So yeah, if you're looking for a kicker, and well, certainly it's probably too late if you were a Harrison Butker owner, because you probably would have already made this switch before Thursday night. But if you're still looking for a kicker and you need someone who's sitting there on the waiver wire, if you're not going for if Suckup is gone or if Koo is gone, I imagine Cade York might not be a bad fill-in. Let's take a quick break, Matt. When we come back, we will get to more start sits. And again, don't forget, you can text us at 590-590 with all your start sit questions on the People's text line. Leave your name and location. We will get to as many as we can at the top of the hour. And if we don't get to all of your texts, we will answer all of them, even if we don't get to them on the air, before the 1 p.m. Eastern kickoffs. But you're listening to The Fantasy Show. I'm Sho. That's Matt on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Welcome back to The Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Sho Ali and Matt Marchese here with you as we break down all the start sits for week 2 in the NFL on this Sunday here in early September. Lots of NFL football to go today. Lots of NFL football to go for the rest of the season. You want some start sit advice, injury updates? It's all for you on the Fantasy Show. Text us on the People's text line at 590-590. Name and location. We'll get to as many texts as we can at the top of the hour at 9 o'clock Eastern. And we'll do some before we get out of here, before inside the lines, and then we'll answer the rest of them if we don't get to them on the air After the show, Matt and I will hop on a quick phone call and answer your text messages. But let's continue our start sits, Matt, and we'll continue with Commanders at Lions. Commanders still sounds like them. The auto-generated team name when you like move a franchise in Madden. That's what it sounds like, but I mean, whatever. It is what it is. Commanders at Lions. Having said that, lots of potential Commanders you could start in your fantasy lineup today. I mean, I think some people were kind of surprised after what we saw from Carson Wentz. He was very good against the Jacksonville Jaguars last weekend, but he completed 65% of his attempts. He was 27 of 41, 313 yards, and he had four passing touchdowns. He did have two picks, but still, four passing touchdowns and three over 300 passing yards is never something you can turn up. I would probably say QB2 against the Lions, maybe even a back-end QB1 today based on the passing attempts, passing volumes, because he has a pretty good cast of receivers to throw to. I mean, Antonio Gibson caught a whole bunch of passes, Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson, Curtis Samuel, Logan Thomas. I mean, against the Lions of all teams, that's not a bad receiving core.
No, I actually think he's probably more of a, I can't believe I'm saying this in 2022, a mid-range QB1. Like we saw, the Lions defense just hemorrhage points to the Eagles last week. I expect that trend to continue. The reports of Antonio Gibson's demise were greatly exaggerated. Seven catches for 72 yards, 14 carries for 58 yards. He led the team in rushing and receiving. I mean, you're obviously going to start Terry McLaurin. He caught a touchdown last week. Curtis Samuel caught a touchdown last week. Jahan Dotson had two touchdowns last week. Samuel seems like the more viable flex play just because of his usage. He had 11 targets. Dotson in deeper leagues is a kind of a boom or bust flex play. He only had the five targets, but he did again turn in two touchdowns. Gibson, obviously, you're going to start. Listen, the Commanders, if Carson Wentz is, I don't know, maybe Carson Wentz is back to being the Carson Wentz that we saw, you know, play at an MVP level with the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, I'm not ready to go there yet, but with the group that he has of talented playmakers, there's certainly no excuses. Like, we can talk about what he had in Indianapolis last year. Oh, he had a great offensive line. Okay, that's fine. Oh, he had Michael Pittman. That's great. He had Jonathan Taylor. After that, it's not as if the Colts were this great skill position team. Outside of Taylor and outside of Pittman, it's not that great. But when you look at Washington, overall, I think you can make the argument that Washington has the better playmakers in maybe not quality, but certainly quantity.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like last year for Carson, after Michael Pittman, Paris Campbell got injured basically right away, as he has for the last couple of seasons, unfortunately. So he was out of the picture pretty early on. So apart from him, you know, who are you throwing the ball to? Naheem Hines in Indianapolis. So yeah, I do agree with you that from top to bottom, the Commanders receiving core of 2022 is probably better than the Colts receiving core of 2021. So I agree with you. I'm not quite ready to say he's back at the MVP level the year the Eagles won the Super Bowl, because it's the week one against the Jags, week two against the Lions. I mean, fantasy points all count the same no matter who you play against, but I'll be interested to see what his fantasy output looks like against maybe some better defenses, because if that happens, then maybe you might have to consider locking him in every week. So we'll have to see, though. It's a situation to monitor. Detroit Lions side of things, well, DeAndre Swift is going to be a game time decision. Looks like he is likely to play. I think it's one of those situations where Swift is so good and his usage was so encouraging last week that even if he is like 75 to 80% of what he usually is because of the ankle injury, you probably still start him because he is that talented. And it really just takes one run with this guy.
Yeah, he had 175 total yards and a TD on 18 touches last week, which included three catches. Like, I mean, he was as elite as you could get. I mean, outside of Saquon Barkley, I believe that DeAndre Swift had the third most yards or the second most yards, whatever it was. He's going to be there and he's going to put up the numbers. They're talking about selective usage. Like, if he gets 12 touches, DeAndre Swift's in your lineup. I know there's some concern that that Jamal Williams took away those, you know, inside the five carries, and he had the two touchdowns. I don't know if that's going to be a thing for the whole year going forward. I know that those are generally tougher yards to get around the goal line, which is maybe why they want to keep DeAndre Swift a little bit fresh. Don't know when the ankle injury occurred, because I certainly didn't see anything. But it's going to be super interesting. I wanted to focus in as well on Amon-Ra St. Brown, who could make some history today, or at least tie history. If he gets eight catches, it'll be for the eighth straight game, which would tie Antonio Brown for the league record. So I will say I was wrong on Amon-Ra St. Brown. Right. I'm willing to admit that. He has had double-digit targets in seven straight games. Ooh. And I can read you those. So the last seven games that he's played, he's had 12 targets, 12 targets, 11 targets, 11 targets, 11 targets, 10 targets, 12 targets. And he went for, he's had a touchdown in, a receiving touchdown in all but one of those games. And he even has a rushing touchdown in those seven games. That is elite as elite can get. And he's been super, super impressive.
Yeah, he's clearly the WR1 in this particular offense. He's clearly a favorite of Jared Goff's. I'd probably say like the highest of NWR2. The Commanders ranked 10th in fantasy points allowed to wide receivers after week one. So we'll have to see if that changes, of course, because again, they played the Jaguars in week one. How much stock are you really putting into that passing offense there? Probably not a lot. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out. But yeah, you're starting Amon-Ra St. Brown. DJ Chark, probably a flex play. TJ Hawkinson, probably also a T, you know, I mean, it's not very hard to be TE1, but I'm going to say like a lower end TE1, high end TE2. Let's move on to Colts Jags. And we did talk a little bit about the Colts because, of course, Michael Pittman is out. He's not playing in this game. That is official. That was yesterday's news. So, of course, you're starting Jonathan Taylor. You don't need us to tell you that. But I will put it this way, Matt. I suspect we will get a lot of questions as to should you or should you not start Paris Campbell this week.
I think you should, and part of the reason is, well, Matt Ryan's going to have to throw to somebody. He threw for 352 on 50 attempts last week, and a bunch went to Michael Pittman, but there's no Alec Pierce. There's no Michael Pittman. The Jags just gave up they gave up over 15 fantasy points to Curtis Samuel last week, and Paris Campbell primarily plays out of the slot. Much of the time, that's where Curtis Samuel occupies his spot as well. I mean, Ashton Doolin is a really interesting play in a deep league this week. He was second on the team in targets with six. He turned it into three catches for 46 yards. Again, they're going to have to throw to somebody. The guy that I'm super interested in now that all these guys are out, and I think it elevates him, is Nyheim Hines. I think that Nyheim Hines is going to be in that 6 to 7 catch area this week because, listen, as much as we want to poo-poo the Jags, they're still going to be, you know, they're going to have to throw the ball as well. This has the makings of being a little bit more high scoring, I think, than people maybe anticipated. Jonathan Taylor could set the record for most touches in a game just because there's nobody else. Like, I'm expecting 200 touches from Jonathan Taylor today.
I know.
He had 35 last week in a game that they were down against the Houston Texans. Like, what is happening here? I would not be stunned if Jonathan Taylor has 30 touches again this week.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I would be shocked if he didn't, right? I mean, just without the passing game touches, anytime you touch the ball 31 times on the ground, he had 161 yards and a touchdown. 31 times. You would think the game was a blowout. You would think it was a complete blowout.
Yeah.
The Colts led the entire game. They were just grinding clock. No, even when they were down, they were giving the Jonathan Taylor the ball. Of course, he is their best player, so it's not a shock, but it's just kind of funny that if you just read the box score, you wouldn't really know that the Colts were down for a lot of this game and had to make a huge comeback. I think they were down 20-9 at one point, and they came back and they ended up tying this game, but the game ending in a tie, rather. It's the Jonathan Taylor. You're starting him regardless. Even on the bye week, maybe you should just start Jonathan Taylor just to be on the safe side.
Still going to get yards.
Jacksonville Jaguars, James Robinson, probably one of the biggest developments of week one in that he looked like he never got injured. He looked like he was completely fine. He clearly is. He never took time away from football because he has looked absolutely phenomenal. I'm not actually that concerned about Travis Etienne Jr., only because there were a couple of plays. Like, there was a clear, I think it was a wheel route, and Trevor Lawrence just badly overthrew him. There was another one where he dropped an easy walk-in touchdown pass. So those are growing pains. This is essentially his rookie season. Trevor Lawrence only in year two. That'll sort itself out. But it's pretty crazy to think that maybe this Jacksonville Jaguars offense can support both Christian Kirk and both James Robinson and Etienne. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that sentiment. And the one thing with Robinson is he had the two touchdowns. One of them was a receiving touchdown. And here's the part that was the most interesting of the usage for both guys. Robinson had more touches, but Travis Etienne played more snaps. Etienne played 51% of the snaps. Robinson played 49% of the snaps. I envision this is going to be a 50% split probably the rest of the way. Etienne, 6 touches, but he managed 47 yards on just 4 carries and 18 yards on 2 receptions. He was clearly able to make plays when the ball is in his hands. And I believe that going forward, we're going to see a lot of both of those guys. Christian Kirk was a monster. He got the target share that many thought that he would get after getting paid. That one outlier of all the top 5 wide receivers was definitely Christian Kirk, but he returned on that investment in week one. And when you talk about usage, you talk about snap counts. This was probably the most surprising. The Jags played a lot of 3 wide receiver sets. Christian Kirk played 91% of the snaps. Zay Jones played 83% of the snaps. And Marvin Jones played 81% of the snaps. Zay Jones had 6 catches for 65 yards. Yeah. That was another guy that they gave some money to in the offseason. And Zay Jones in this game that I anticipate is going to be a little bit high scoring could be a nice little flex play for some teams. If you're missing Michael Pittman, or you're worried about Gabe Davis, like those kinds of guys, Zay Jones is probably available on your waiver wire. If you can go snatch him up today, might be a sneaky little play.
Yeah, Paris Campbell, Zay Jones, those are the kinds of guys that you can probably slot in at a moment's notice. And also Christian Kirk, slot guy, 68% of his routes were from the slot, and he got 6 passes for 117 yards. So when he starts catching touchdowns, I think we're going to be having is Christian Kirk a top 10 receiver fantasy-wise, at the very least. I think we're going to be having that conversation in the not-too-distant future. Bucks at Saints, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Tom Brady, QB1, Leonard Fournette certainly looks like he's going to play RB1 if he plays like he usually is. Mike Evans looks like he's going to play as well. But I would say borderline WR1 for Evans just because of the injury, and sometimes I find that specifically when the Bucks play the Saints, Mike Evans sees a lot of Marshawn Lattimore. He sees a lot of Marshawn Lattimore, and his like fantasy points. You should see the splits between playing the Saints and playing literally everyone else. It's wacky. These interdivisional games always are pretty silly. So I would probably downgrade a lot of players on this Bucks team. You're still starting Mike Evans. And I'm not sure if you want to start Julio Jones with the knee issues, right? We've seen that bite people in recent memory. Evans, Fournette, Brady, those are the starts every week anyways. So probably not a lot of surprising news here for the Bucks.
Well, my only thing with the Bucks here is there's Mike Evans is hurt. Julio Jones is hurt. Russell Gage is hurt. And they don't have Chris Godwin still. I'm really curious to see where Rashad White comes into all this. I know that Leonard Fournette is obviously still there. I'm curious to see if Rashad White gets used in the passing game. He was by far and away the best pass catching back in this class. And they've talked about maybe the James White role. And last week he did get involved in the game, but at that point it was already seemingly out of hand. And they wanted to rest up Leonard Fournette. Fournette's snap share was well over 80%, and he didn't play a ton in the second half. So that to me means something. But I'm curious to see what Rashad White's availability is and how they use him this week against the Saints. Here's what I will say about Rashad White. If he is available, go get him, because I think he's going to be a factor down the stretch. And if he's already gone, shame on you for not picking him up.
So would you roster, let's say, Rashad White over, we talked about the Chiefs on the Thursday night recap, would you roster White over, let's say, Isaiah Pacheco at this point?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Well, I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire got an elite snap share, and I Rashad White is the better player. And Rashad White, we've seen the history of what a pass-catching back can be in a Tom Brady-led offense. James White, that's obviously, true. At the yeah. top of that list. And there's draft capital there too, as well. So like Pacheco was a seventh round pick, I think. And Rashad White was a third round pick. I like Rashad White's upside because, you know, Jerick McKinnon was taking away touches and red zone touches. Is that going to be the same thing if Clyde Edwards-Helaire were to go down and Pacheco comes in? I would be taking Rashad White over Pacheco for sure.
All right, that's just curious. I think it's always interesting for these, especially for keeper leagues or dynasty leagues. We get a lot of dynasty questions sometimes, so I just figured we'd throw that one out there. So on the Saints side of things, Jameis Winston, like we said, likely to play with that back injury. Alvin Kamara, not likely to play, so keep that in mind. I think you'll have to monitor this as we get closer to kickoff, but Alvin Kamara, not likely to play. Michael Thomas did look very good. I mean, he went the first half of that game was a little quiet, and he got two touchdowns in the fourth quarter. He had four receptions for 63 yards and two touchdowns in the fourth quarter. He was very, very good. Some early game rust, perhaps, for him. Jarvis Landry is a guy you had your eye on when we were doing our preseason rankings in the waiver wire pod this past week. So thoughts on Thomas and Jarvis Landry, because apart from those guys, again, I Taysom Hill, I guess, but I'm not going to bank on any Taysom Hill fantasy points.
Yeah, no, I'm not touching any of the running backs, especially against the Bucs run defense, which is so elite. So I'm staying away from whoever is filling in. It's probably Mark Ingram, although he was banged up this week. Lots of passing for Jameis Winston. This is a revenge game. As always, Jameis, you know, spent a lot of time with the Bucs, was drafted first overall, all that great, great narrative street that we love. Jarvis Landry, I would start. Michael Thomas, I would start. Another one to keep an eye on. The receiver that actually played the most in terms of snaps was Chris Olave. And they took Chris Olave high. I think that Chris Olave is going to be another guy that you can count on late in the year. And I wonder if today, with Alvin Kamara being out, or at least that's what it looks like, if they do throw the ball more and they get Chris Olave integrated into the offense a little bit more. Only three targets last week. I don't even want to talk about Taysom Hill. We're good.
We can, though, if you want. We can.
No, I'm good. I've said my piece, because like you said, the week that you want to start him where the stars line up is going to be the week that he disappoints you. Yeah. Always.
Yeah, fantasy Grinch Taysom Hill. Okay, let's run through the last couple of games here before we take a quick break and get to your texts, of course, at 590-590. Panthers at Giants. Look, you don't need us to tell you to start Christian McCaffrey or DJ Moore. The interesting aspects of the Panthers offense right now are Robbie Anderson to me. I mean, he's probably a flex play, but it's just interesting, right? He saw a 32% target share, and then he will also play a struggling Giants secondary. The problem is, of course, that DJ Moore is also playing that game, and so is Christian McCaffrey. So how much can you trust Robbie Anderson when it'll probably be best for the Panthers offense to get the ball into the hands of Moore and McCaffrey?
Yeah, I would agree. Robbie Anderson, total surprise that we're even talking about him, because last year was such a dud. But, you know, him and DJ Moore, and this was the most surprising stat I think I've seen, because we very rarely see this, played 100% of the snaps. Ooh. At wide receiver. That almost never happens. So Robbie Anderson, probably a boom or bust flex play. Listen, Baker Mayfield is the best quarterback that the Panthers have had in a while. And that includes, you know, as a thrower, I'm talking about, better than Cam Newton near the end. And obviously whoever they were.
Well, you'd have to go back to the 2015 season when he won MVP. That's a long time.
Yeah. And even then he was a good passer, but he wasn't a great passer. Not that Baker's a great passer, but that's where I would be going. Anderson is a flex play for me with a high ceiling for sure.
I think it's funny too, that Christian McCaffrey had he had 13 points, and people are like, oh no, Christian McCaffrey, what a bust. Like, it's definitely the usage wasn't exactly there for McCaffrey, but in his first game back in meaningful NFL action, it's funny to think that the ceiling, the thought process is so high for Christian McCaffrey, the expectations, that 13 points is considered a down game, right? You would think that he should be getting like 25 points a game every single game, and that would be nice. But Christian McCaffrey, yeah, you're putting him in your lineups. Giants, Saquon Barkley, he's back. It's the best we've seen Saquon look in probably several years. He took, I think, well over 50% of the Giants' touches in the backfield. He had 9.1 yards per carry, which is insane. So I think you're obviously starting Saquon Barkley. Apart from Barkley, though, I don't really know that I'd feel comfortable starting any of Kadarius Toney, Kenny Golladay, Wan'Dale Robinson, or Sterling Shepard. Like, really anyone. I think really the only Giant I might start is Saquon Barkley. And if you're in a super flex league and you're in a real pinch, I guess Daniel Jones. But even then, I on your bench, I would think.
I'm the only one. Yeah, Saquon firstly was incredible. That's what we'd like to see. Kadarius Toney for me is droppable in leagues. He only played 7% of He only played 7 snaps last week. He was working with the third team offense, and now he's hurt. I think this is just going to be an ongoing thing with Kadarius Toney. I'm actually going to start Sterling Shepard here because when he's healthy, he has a great rapport with Daniel Jones. And again, with all the injuries that we have this week, I actually think that Sterling Shepard is a good play considering that the Panthers aren't all that great on defense. Daniel Jones got to throw to somebody. He's certainly not throwing to Kenny Golladay. I would be comfortable with starting Sterling Shepard because when he plays with Daniel Jones, it actually isn't all so bad.
So look, as your third wide receiver or a flex play, I would imagine.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. I'm no more comfortable starting him in any other position than those two, for sure.
Okay, fair. And then real quick, I don't think this is going to take super long. Patriots at Steelers. I mean, look, you're starting for the Steelers. You're starting Najee Harris. He certainly had the injury. I guess it was a foot injury. And it looks like he's going to be fine. So Najee Harris, you're starting him if he plays. You're probably starting Diontae Johnson as a lower end WR1. Chase Claypool as a lower end WR3. And Freiermuth, I would say a TE1 just because the TE landscape is a barren wasteland out there. But beyond that, I mean, like, are there any other Pittsburgh Steelers that you're starting? Like, are you starting George Pickens? Probably not. You're not starting Jaylen Warren. You're just starting the studs, quote unquote, for the Steelers offense. And for the Patriots, there was some news that Ty Montgomery has gone on the IR, and it doesn't look like Pierre Strong, one of their rookies, is going to play. So I would imagine it does mean more work for both Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson because Mac Jones was dealing with an injury and then an illness this week. So I would imagine they're going to try and lean on the run game if they can.
Mac Jones was just sick of Matt Patricia and Joe Judge. That's what it was. Jacoby Myers, probably the only wide receiver to start. I thought we were going to get more from Devontae Parker. We didn't. Myers is the wide receiver one here for me. I do like Stevenson and Harris. I think the running game is going to be better this week. I don't know how much better, but better anyway. For Pittsburgh, Freiermuth, he looks like the safety net for Mitch Trubisky. 10 targets, 5 catches, 75 yards. And Diontae Johnson, unsurprisingly, a target monster again with 12. George Pickens, we had all this preseason hype, 1 catch for 3 yards. I would assume they try and integrate him in the offense a little bit better, but I'm not holding my breath. Diontae Johnson is the only wide receiver that I'm starting for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, look, and all the numbers from last week are like just ever so slightly inflated because this team went to overtime. So and the game went to the end of overtime, too. So they essentially had an entire extra quarter to garner more fantasy targets. It's not going to happen every week, but still, it's encouraging to see the target shares for guys like Diontae Johnson, certainly Pat Freiermuth as well. 10 targets for tight end Pat Freiermuth. So I like him as a TE1. Let's step aside, take a very quick break. When we come back, your texts on the People's Text Line, 590-590, name and location. We will take as many as we can at the top of the hour. You're listening to The Fantasy Show, Show and Matt on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This is The Fantasy Show with Show Ali and Matt Marchese on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Welcome back to The Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show and Matt with you here. Week 2 of the NFL season is already underway, I suppose, with the Thursday Nighter, but more NFL action this Sunday here in early September. We're here to break it all down for you. Start, sits, and of course, your text at the People's Text Line, 590-590, name and location. Matt, ready to get some texts?
Let's do it.
Let's get it.
And now, your fantasy questions on the People's Text Line.
All right, of course, as I always say, if we do not get to your texts right now, we will answer all of them before the 1 p.m. Eastern kickoff. So still send us as many as possible as 590-590 and leave your name and location as well. Let's start from this one. FaZe had texted this one last night. Okay, Matt, this is from FaZe from Peterborough in a PPR league.
I love the
league.
Commitment.
Yeah, people get really get these things in early. This was during the Jays game, I think, right? So this is from FaZe PPR. With Pittman out, these are my backups. Curtis Samuel, Drake London, or Jerry Jeudy? Who should I start? A full PPR league.
I think Jerry Jeudy.
I knew you'd
I
say
love
that.
Jerry Jeudy.
I'd say,
I love Jerry Jeudy.
I've seen this.
He's so good. He's so good.
He is really good. See, here's the thing. I'm going to go Curtis Samuel only because of the opponent. Really only because of the opponent. I really do think the usage rate. Curtis Samuel looks like he is the guy the Commanders paid for in a big way in 2021, and he basically didn't play at all last season because he was injured. So with that in mind, I do think that I'm going to go Samuel, but it's really close. It gets really close only because of the opponent. If this was any other week, I'd probably go Jerry Jeudy. But Matt's going to go Jeudy. I'm going to go Curtis Samuel. Mike texts in from Scarborough, half PPR league, 10-team league, Chase Edmonds or Kareem Hunt?
Ooh.
That's a good one, I think.
That's a tough one. Honestly, I lean Kareem Hunt because I just, like we've talked about, I think the offense kind of rolls through the two running backs there. And Chase Edmonds, even though he's good, he has the tougher matchup for my money anyway against the Baltimore Ravens. So I'm going to go with Kareem Hunt here.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to go Hunt as well. I think you're right in that there are maybe a couple more options for Tua in that Miami offense. Whereas for the Browns, basically everything runs through Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. Like in some way, shape, or form, one of those two guys touching the ball in like 98% of plays, right? So I think I'm going to go Kareem Hunt as well. Our technical producer, Austin Mackey, also says he had that same dilemma. So I think we helped Austin out as well with that text message. Let's go to some more here. I see one here from Tony from Hamilton. Who would you start, Travis Etienne or James Robinson? There's no format for Tony. So, Tony, if you want to text us the format, well, we can follow up on this. But from a general perspective, what do you think, Travis Etienne or Robinson?
It's funny. I have this exact same problem. Exact same problem. If it's standard, I'm starting James Robinson. If it's PPR, I think they get Travis Etienne involved a little bit more in the offense. And like we said, he had a walk-in touchdown that he missed, and that totally changes his fantasy day last week. So PPR, Travis Etienne. For standard, I'm going James Robinson.
And the second question from Tony is, and I think this is much easier. Second question, Curtis Samuel or Greg Dortch? I think we're both probably going to go Samuel, I would imagine.
Yes, I think it's actually closer than many would think just because of Dortch's usage last week and no Rondale Moore. But yeah, I'm going to lean Curtis Samuel. I mean, you can't pass up a guy who had 11 targets last week and turned it into, you know, over 70 total yards with his rushing and a score. I mean, I'll go with Curtis Samuel.
Let's see. This one's from Steve in East York. Morning, gentlemen. Okay, I need a wide receiver for non-PPR. So this is a standard league. Darnell Mooney, Bateman, this is Chalk. I assume this is DJ Chark or Paris Campbell. So non-PPR, Mooney, Bateman, Chark, Paris Campbell. Where are you leaning, Matt?
I'm leaning Bateman until I see more from Darnell Mooney. Like, I know last week was not good just because of the weather, but, you know, and we're going to talk about it later, but he's going to see a lot of Jair Alexander, is my guess. And that's never a good thing for wide receivers. I know that Bateman is probably going to see a bunch of Xavien Howard, but I think that just they're going to be able to get Bateman open a little bit more. And there's always that threat of a touchdown with him. That's who I'm going to go with.
You know, it's a good point about Jair Alexander. The tough thing, too, is waiting until Sunday night only to have one of your best receivers see the best cornerback for the other team. And I don't know what the exact statistics are off the top of my head, Matt, but it's something like In weeks after a loss, Aaron Rodgers shreds. He shreds. And hey, if that's the case, then maybe the Bears will be playing catch-up. Maybe they will be throwing the ball a lot to Darnell Mooney. But I think you're right. Jair Alexander is one of the few really scary cover corners in fantasy football purposes because he kind of erases other guys. So I like that one. I'm going to go Paris Campbell for this one just because volume-wise, I bet he is the guy. Like Matt Ryan is going to throw the ball like 45 to 50 times in this one, most likely. Unless Jonathan Taylor is breaking off like 80-yard touchdown runs every other touch, I think he's going to throw the ball a lot. And if that's the case, then yeah, I'm going to go Paris Campbell. Connor in Calgary, I definitely won't have target monster Deontay Johnson on my bench this week. I have one wide receiver spot remaining, standard scoring, Darnell Mooney, Hunter Renfro, D. Smith. I assume that's Devonta Smith. So Mooney, Renfro, Smith, Hurts is my quarterback. That makes a difference.
I'm going to go against conventional wisdom here, and I'm going to go with the slot receiver, Hunter Renfro. The okay. Chiefs absolutely took advantage of Isaiah Simmons. They basically threw to around Isaiah Simmons anytime that he was lined up on a passing down. And I think that Hunter Renfro is going to see a lot of him. He's one of the better route runners that we've seen in recent memory. And last week, he didn't have a good week. I know Devontae Adams got a bulk of that target share. I'm actually going to go Hunter Renfro here.
Okay, you know, I'm pretty high on Hunter Renfro. I do think that the growing pains we saw out of the Raiders offense in week one is not something that's going to be consistently there over the course of the whole season. So I'm going to lean Hunter Renfro as well. I see this one here is from Eddie from Angus. Morning, guys. Couple questions today. Half PPR. So I know you'll like this one, Matt. Dawson Knox or Taysom Hill at tight end?
God. My God. Here's what I'll say. I don't like any of it, but I'm going to lean Dawson Knox here because there is the chance that Gabe Davis doesn't play. I know you're taking a risk here, but Dawson Knox is also a guy that the Bills look to in the red zone. I do believe that Dawson Knox has a bounce back from last week, a better matchup for him. I'm going to go Dawson Knox.
Eddie also wants to know, I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm going to go Taysom Hill only because Kamara is likely not to play. And again, I'm a little more conservative in the sense that I don't want to wait until Monday night for this decision to play out. So I'd rather start Taysom Hill and roll the dice than wait until Monday night and then Dawson Knox is irrelevant because Gabe Davis does actually play. Or maybe what ends up happening is that Josh Allen just runs the ball himself more or just throws the ball that much more to like Stephon Diggs or something, right? Or Isaiah McKenzie or what have you. So I think I'm going to stay away from Dawson Knox until we see a little more consistency for the non-Diggs options in that Bills passing offense. Eddie also had another question. Would you consider starting Paris Campbell or either Brandon Cooks or Christian Kirk? Both are pretty good options in a half PPR league. So Campbell, Cooks, or Kirk?
Kirk is ahead of those two guys. Just, I think he has, well, not I think, he has the better quarterback at this point. Maybe he's not better than Matt Ryan at this point, but Christian Kirk's a better receiver than Paris Campbell. So I'm going to go with Kirk because his usage was incredible last week. He's going to probably play 90% of the snaps. Christian Kirk.
All right, let's get to a couple more here and then we'll go back to the start sits. And again, if we don't answer your question on the air, we will answer your question. Matt and I will just hop on a quick phone call after the show, and we'll answer all your texts again at 590. This is from Mark in Toronto. Half PPR for my flex. I need one: Ramondre Stevenson, Chase Claypool, or Tony Pollard. So a half PPR flex: Stevenson, Claypool, Pollard. I'm probably, given that Ty Montgomery is now in the injured reserve and that the Patriots probably need to run the ball a little bit more, I think I'm going to lean Ramondre Stevenson.
Well, not only that, I think he's going to be used in the passing game where Ty Montgomery was as well. So I'm going to lean Ramondre Stevenson as well.
I like it. That was a relatively quick one. So that's for Mark in Toronto. I see one here. Al in Uxbridge. Good morning, Al. Half point PPR, Russell Wilson or Jalen Hurts? Okay, let's go with that one first. He has two questions. Russell Wilson or Jalen Hurts, first of all?
Russ had a big... you know what? I just like the rushing upside because that always offers a little bit more. So I'm going to go Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to go with Jalen Hurts as well. Again, I've said this before. I don't know if Jalen Hurts is the real-life answer at quarterback for the Eagles long-term. Fantasy-wise, he is a machine. So I'm taking Jalen Hurts. And then Al's other question was Jahan Dotson or Treylon Burks? So two rookies, Dotson or Burks?
Burks goes up against a tough Bills secondary. I think Dotson just has the better matchup against the Lions. I'm going to go Jahan Dotson here.
Yeah, I think the matchup for Dotson is better. I got to say, a very good debut for Jahan Dotson. But I think that'll wrap up the text line questions for this week here on the Fantasy Show. At the very least, we'll do a couple more before we go at the end of the show, and then we will also we will get to more a little later on after the show is done. We'll answer all of your text messages again before the 1 p.m. kickoffs. 590-590, name and location. Okay, Matt, let's get back to the start sits. We finished with Patriots Steelers in the previous segment. We're going to continue with Falcons at Rams. And I have to say, the Atlanta Falcons looked way better than I thought they would with Marcus Mariota as quarterback. The only unfortunate thing is that it did not translate to a lot of points for the guy I had ranked number one at tight end this year, Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, that was so bizarre. Like, he's not going to have that same letdown this week. I can't see that happening. The Bills were able to pass all over the Rams. Not that Marcus Mariota is Josh Allen, but Marcus Mariota, I think, is a really good start here this week. 72 rushing yards last week, and the Rams defense just gave up 56 rushing yards and a rushing TD to Josh Allen last week. So I like Mariota. I like Pitts. Listen, I guess the knee issue was not actually an issue for Drake London because he was awesome last week. And how about Cordarrelle Patterson? He forced the most missed tackles and got an elite workload. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think there's four startable Atlanta Falcons this week.
Well, here's the thing on Patterson as well. I mean, as good as he was last season, and you mentioned the stats from week one, Damien Williams is now on the IR. He is on the IR. Yeah. He's done for the year, or I forget if it was the four-week IR or if he's actually done for the season entirely. But either way, he's not playing today. So whether or not Tyler Allgeier plays, and I imagine he would. He was inactive last week. I imagine he plays just because they need another running back there. But it certainly would suggest a very high usage rate for Cordarrelle Patterson, which is exactly what you want to hear. So you're absolutely starting Patterson. For the Rams, I mean, this is something we talked about last week in our kind of Thursday night recap, because, of course, Bills-Rams was the season opener. Allen Robinson, because you're starting Cooper Kupp, I think most people are going to start Darrell Henderson Jr. because he was very, very good. Allen Robinson, it's the continuing question. Do you start him? Do you not? I think after 1 week, you're not going to give up on pretty much anyone you drafted after just 1 week, barring some kind of serious injury. So I think you're starting Robinson as a WR3. I don't know if I want to have too high expectations for Allen Robinson until we actually see it translate to like real production on an NFL field.
So I like to go by coach speak more so during the season than I do in the preseason, because preseason coach speak is a bunch of junk, bunch of hooey. But Sean McVay said they need to get him more involved. They need to have more designs where he's the number one read. At some point, somebody's got to be able to figure out how to cover Cooper Kupp. And that's where I believe that Allen Robinson is a big key here. I'm not going to overreact. I expect a bounce back from Allen Robinson. And at the end of the day, we talk about following the money. Allen Robinson got paid this offseason.
He did, yeah.
I just don't see a scenario where Allen Robinson is going to have a season like he did last year. I really don't. We've talked about the best quarterback that he's ever had. It's not going to happen. I read a lot on Twitter because, you know, about, you know, people who get to watch the All-22 film. I wish that we could. We do not have access to that in Canada, unfortunately. But a lot of people were saying Allen Robinson was getting open yesterday. Last week, Matthew Stafford just wasn't looking for him.
Yeah, he just didn't really look his way all that often. I think you'd hope that's going to change. Real quick, before we look at the other games here, are you starting Cam Akers at all this week?
No, not until I see something different. Like the snap share, the touch share last week was heavily in favor of Darrell Henderson. I don't think that Cam Akers is going to be as bad as last week. I think he's going to get a little bit more run, but I certainly don't trust him until I see something different.
All right, so let's move on to this next one, Seattle Seahawks at San Francisco 49ers. And let's start with the 49ers, actually, because Trey Lance Gosh, the chatter around Trey Lance is kind of tiresome because I feel like this goes back to when he was before the draft even, right? When we was like, oh, are the 49ers going to draft Mac Jones? Like, what's going on with Trey Lance? Is it a smokescreen? Is it not? Trading up for a guy? Who are they going to take? And then he comes in and he finally gets the unequivocal starting job for the 49ers, and then no one walked out of that game last week looking good. There's not a single player who you can really comfortably say, oh, I loved what I saw, because it was an absolute monsoon in Chicago last weekend.
It was pathetic. Like, the game shouldn't have even been played if we're talking in the real world. Deebo Samuel was fine. Brandon Ayuk wasn't. But listen, I think there's going to be a bounce back here. Russell, and I'm not saying that Trey Lance is Russell Wilson, but Russell Wilson just threw for 340 against the Seahawks. I do believe that there is a bounce back here for Trey Lance. I do believe Brandon Ayuk is going to have a bounce back. And we get to see what Jeff Wilson Jr. looks like as the starter with Elijah Mitchell out. That's going to be a very interesting kind of development, because I'm assuming Tyrion Davis Price is active this week. He was not last week. Jordan Mason was a very popular waiver ad this week because he was active last week. So I do think it's Jeff Wilson's backfield for now. But other than that, I mean, no George Kittle. So you're going to have to pivot. I mean, you didn't have him last week, so you've already made that pivot, I would assume. But yeah, I don't think this is the make or break week for Trey Lance. But if it goes sour, that leash, I believe, gets a lot shorter for him in San Francisco this season.
Yeah, I think so too. Do you think Jimmy G finishes the year as a 49er, or do you think he gets traded?
Ooh, wow. No, I don't think he gets traded. Like, he has the no trade, so it's going to be entirely up to him whether he wants to move. I mean, big injuries do happen. I just think that San Francisco is not – there's, even though Trey Lance is the starter, if they were so comfortable with him as the starter, Jimmy G would have gotten cut. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
Because him being around is a bit of a distraction. So – I think that Jimmy G is a 49er by the end of the season. Whether he's the one starting the games when it matters, I still think that remains to be seen. I'm certainly not ready to shut the door on that yet.
Most handsome backup in the NFL? Probably.
No question. He's probably the most handsome starter. Forget backup.
Let's look at the Seahawks as well. I wanted to play this clip for you, Matt. This is from, so the Monday Nighter last week was, of course, Seahawks-Broncos, the revenge game for Russell Wilson. Didn't really go his way because of the shenanigans at the end of the game with Nathaniel Hackett not going for it on fourth down, not using the timeouts, so on and so forth. But the Seattle Seahawks did pull it out in large part because of Geno Smith. And this is what Geno Smith had to say to the media after the win last week.
They wrote me off. I ain't right back, though. That's the problem. I ain't right back. Let's go.
I gotta say, that is an all-time walk-off interview quote. They wrote me off, but I ain't right back. That's tremendous. I gotta say, I think I've always been a kind of a Geno Smith fan. I've wanted to see him succeed, especially after he was drafted, like, relatively speaking, highly, and then never really had a lot to show for it. So that's one thing. But that quote, great, fantastic quote.
Yeah, give me that all day. I mean, he wasn't a superstar in week one, but he was good enough. And am I going to start him against the 49ers defense? Probably not, but DK Metcalf is certainly a start. The one for me is Rashad Penny moves down a little bit with the return of, or not return, but the debut of Kenneth Walker. Penny handled all but one running back touch last week, and I don't expect that that's going to happen again. I think he's at the, you know, the mid-range to back-end RB2 conversation, and he's certainly a flex play in every league.
I don't think you can have Penny handle as many touches as he did, because he has proven be relatively speaking, injury prone. And if you want your players to stay as healthy as possible for as long as possible, then if you have a highly prized, again, relatively speaking, rookie in Ken Walker, then he has to be worked into the game plan in some way, shape, or form. Unfortunately for us, it makes a player less fantasy relevant in Penny, because you can never really guarantee touches when other guys get in there. Ken Walker is very talented, don't get me wrong, but at the same time, it wasn't my favorite landing spot at the draft. I'll put it that way, because I really do think he is talented enough to be a bell cow running back, and he's not going to be that here in Seattle unless something really terrible goes wrong for Penny or someone else. But yeah, apart from Metcalf, not a lot of consistent fantasy point producers, I would say, for the Seattle Seahawks here. Bengals, Cowboys, we'll do this one, then we'll take a quick break. Bengals here taking on the Dallas Cowboys, who are without Dak Prescott. Prescott, of course, with a thumb injury. He's going to be out for 6 to 8 weeks, you would think. That basically means for the Cowboys, Matt, you're essentially downgrading every member of the Cowboys offense as much as you can. You're not starting Cooper Rush, certainly, but it means that Ezekiel Elliott kind of goes down maybe to a mid to low end RB2, because I'm sure defenses are going to stack the box against guys like Zeke. CeeDee Lamb goes down. Actually, the only guy who probably remains, relatively speaking, unchanged is Dalton Schultz, and that's probably about it.
Yeah, I kind of have that same sentiment. I mean, you can maybe mix in Tony Pollard in a flex play if you're in trouble. Like, I'm going to play Tony Pollard this week in our fan league just because I have to, because Michael Pittman's out. I mean, Cooper Rush did have 325 passing yards in a spot start against the Vikings. He had to throw the ball 40 times. So I don't know, maybe it's not all that bad. Like, I'm trying to talk myself into this one, but I agree with all that. CeeDee Lamb moves down. Dalton Schultz, like you said, he still probably remains the same. Pat Freiermuth had a good week last week against the Bengals, so I would assume that stays the same. I don't love the linebacking core for the Bengals, especially in coverage. I'm going to stick with Dalton Schultz in there. The only guy, like I said, maybe Tony Pollard in a flex play if you're desperate like I am.
I had to go check our fan league to see if we're playing each other. We're not, so that's good.
I don't even know who I'm playing this week, Matt.
As long as it's not against me.
Show's going to give me bad advice because I'm playing against him. I'm playing against Dan Riccio this week, so that should be fun.
Okay.
Especially after he auto-drafted because he was in Hungary during the draft and he fell asleep.
He messaged me, like, I think maybe about a couple hours before the draft, saying, hey, what time's the draft again? I said, oh, it's at such and such a time. And then he was like, what time is that in, like, European time? And I'm like, I have no idea.
You're there, dude. Figure it out. Like, it's, you know what it is? It's called Google.
Oh, good heavens. Okay, on the Bengals side of things, you know what's crazy? Joe Burrow threw 4 interceptions and had a lost fumble, and he still finished with around 20 points. That just goes to show you how good Joe Burrow is. He's phenomenal. You're starting him every week, obviously. You're starting Joe Mixon every week. You're starting Ja'Marr Chase every week. T. Higgins, if he plays this week because of the concussion, I think you're starting him too. But beyond that, I mean, Tyler Boyd, probably a flex if Higgins doesn't play. I'm probably sitting him if Higgins is active. Hayden Hurst, though, I'm intrigued to see what the Hurst usage is this week if Higgins does play, because I have a feeling a lot of the usage came when he went out of the game. So it will be interesting to see how the non-Chase Higgins options line up if Higgins does in fact not play because of the concussion.
Yeah, Higgins, and you know what, this is not something that is nice. Like, T. Higgins, he lost his father, I believe, before last week's game, played clearly with a heavy heart. I believe that T. Higgins is going to have a monster game today in honor of his father. I really, really do believe that. And he's a great receiver to begin with, so there's no surprise there. Tyler Boyd goes up against Jordan Lewis, who was one of the better man coverage corners last year out of the slot. I think Boyd is more of a punt play like he was last week. He did get the touchdown. But yeah, I'm gonna go with Chase, with Burrow, with Higgins, and if you're desperate, again, like I am in some leagues already, Tyler Boyd, you can play in a flex spot.
That's Matt Marchese. I'm Show Ali. You're listening to The Fantasy Show here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. We're going to step aside, take a very quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the start sits to Monday night games this week. It's kind of weird, right? In week 2, 2 Monday nighters instead of in week 1. But we will get to all of the remainder of the start sits, and we'll take a couple last text messages at 590-590 on the People's Text Line for your fantasy questions. We will get to all of your fantasy questions before games start at 1 p.m. Eastern. But again, you're listening to The Fantasy Show, Show and Matt, on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Segment to go on the Fantasy Show here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show Ali and Matt Marchese alongside you here on week 2 of the NFL season here in 2022. Lots of start sit news done already. And again, still taking your texts at 590-590, name and location on the People's Text Line. We'll do a couple more texts in about 15 minutes before we get out of here, and then we'll answer all of the ones we did not answer on the air, off the air. I'll hop on a quick phone call with Matt, and we will get to all of your text messages at 590-590 before week two kicks off at 1 p.m. Eastern. But let's continue, Matt. Texans at Broncos. Damian Pierce was the darling of draft season, just shooting up draft boards. And doesn't it kind of feel, I know week one, I know I'm not going to overreact too much, but doesn't it kind of feel like the hype train has already just come way off the tracks? It kind of feels like that to me.
I can say, Show, I was never on the hype train. I really didn't. I just because there's a good landing spot does not mean that it's going to be fruitful for fantasy purposes. He got drafted where he got drafted. It could be just, maybe he's just not as talented as some of the other guys. I actually, believe it or not, lean Rex Burkhead over Damian Pierce this week, just based on last week's usage. And the idea that Burkhead is the better pass catcher of the two in a game where I do believe they will be down. Listen, Burkhead played 70% of the snaps last week, and they were up. So what does that tell you about the comfort level with a guy like Damian Pierce? I think Burkhead offers the higher floor here, especially in PPR leagues. Maybe Damian Pierce has the higher ceiling because we've seen him, you know, have breakaway runs. I'm not starting Damian. I don't have any Damian Pierce anywhere. But outside of Rex Burkhead, I mean, Brandon Cooks, I'm not touching OJ Howard. I know he was a big waiver wire pickup. Listen, people, maybe it gets better, but he only played 17% of the snaps last week. He was just very fortunate because touchdowns are a fluke stat to catch two of them in a game. I'm not going anywhere near OJ Howard in this one.
Yeah, OJ Howard only had two targets. So for him to catch two touchdowns on two targets, that is some insane efficiency. And then the Texans also just don't use their tight ends all that much. I'm staying away from OJ Howard. Brandon Cook's pretty much the only Texans player you can really rely on. And yeah, like you said, Damian Pierce, I mean, they had a 17-point lead heading into the fourth quarter last year. And Pierce didn't get the ball when the Texans were ahead. He didn't get the ball when things were, well, not behind, but when they were tied and they were forced to throw more. So I'm not really sure when Pierce is going to get the football, if that's the case. Again, week one is week one, so you're not going to overreact too much, but it's something to keep an eye on going forward. I'm sitting him this week, that's for sure. Broncos side of things, again, you're starting all the usual suspects. Like, you're starting Russell Wilson, Javonte Williams, you're starting Cortland Sutton, you're starting Jerry Jeudy. It does basically beg the question, can you still flex someone like Melvin Gordon? It certainly looks like you can. And can you start someone like Albert Okwegbunam, who is, I think, a relatively high-end TE2?
Yeah, Melvin Gordon, I do believe, is in the flex conversation because I think they're going to get out to a lead. And when we look at how, and I didn't see the snap counts from last week for this game. That was the one thing that I forgot to look up. But what I will say is Nathaniel Hackett comes from Green Bay, and he's, you know, when he was in Buffalo, when he was in Jacksonville, they used two running backs, regardless of how talented one may be over the other. Javonte Williams, here's how I look at it. Javonte Williams is going to be the Denver Broncos version of Aaron Jones. Melvin Gordon is going to be the AJ Dillon of this offense. That's how it's going to work. Melvin Gordon got red zone and goal line carries. Javonte Williams led the Broncos in targets. I don't think that's going to happen every week, but it's certainly something to keep an eye on. I think Melvin Gordon is maybe a lower floor flex play, but with touchdown upside in an offense that is going to be good, and I think an offense that's going to run the ball a lot this week because of their opponent, I'm okay with starting Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, I think you're going to be able to start both of these guys, I feel like, on a relatively frequent basis. But yeah, Javonte Williams clearly a relatively big part of the passing game for the Denver Broncos. Let's go to the next one here. Cards at Raiders. We'll start with the Arizona Cardinals. They got completely blown out. Not great, obviously, but still, Kyler Murray is a QB1. James Conner, you're starting. He didn't have the best week, but I mean, they got blown out, so you're not going to use your running backs too much on the actual ground because of game script. So it wasn't negative game script, but he still gets goal line carries. So as long as he gets goal line carries, he's going to be a guy you start. Apart from that, though, I mean, we were talking about this a little earlier when it came to some of the text messages about Greg Dortch. I mean, Marquise Brown, Dortch, no Rondale Moore, Zach Ertz in there as well. It's kind of like a hodgepodge of receivers. Probably will continue to be until DeAndre Hopkins returns in, I think it's week 7. I think he's suspended for 6 weeks, so until week 7. So I don't know. I at best, WR2 status for Marquise Brown, that's where I fall on that. Tight end one for Zach Ertz, but also because, like we've said multiple times, not that hard to be a tight end one in today's NFL.
No, I would agree with all that. Dortch is the interesting one here. Again, if you have concerns at wide receiver, which you might, if you were planning on playing Julio Jones, if you're planning on playing Michael Pittman, Dortch goes up against Nate Hobbs, who gave up over 15 points to the slot position last week. That's basically where Greg Dortch is going to operate in that Rondale Moore role. He had a good week last week. He had a good target share. I'm okay. I think there's a decent floor there in PPR leagues, but I'm not starting him in standard leagues.
Yeah, 7 of 9 targets for Dortch, 7 catches on 9 targets for 63 yards, and he lined up in the slot 80% of the time. So if that statistic you threw out there for the slot corner holds true, then Dortch might have another good week, especially with Kyler Murray running around back there trying to make a play happen. On the Raiders side of things, again, Derek Carr had a rough week. He really just was forcing the ball to Davante Adams, which I guess is good news if you're a Davante Adams owner, because he seemed to maintain the ridiculous target share that he had in Green Bay. Unfortunately for basically everyone else, it does hurt them a little bit. I mean, he had 17 targets, 10 receptions, 141 yards, and a touchdown. That is phenomenal. You hope that continues, even in part, because if it does, Davante Adams is going to be a top 5 wide receiver this year, which is great. However, that does mean both Darren Waller and Hunter Renfro take a little bit of a beating when it comes to fantasy point output, because, I mean, if they're going to force the ball to Davante Adams, it just makes them a little less valuable, unfortunately.
It does. I think this week is maybe the outlier, because if they run Renfro out of the slot, which they do a lot, then he's going to match up against Isaiah Simmons, which I mentioned earlier. I actually don't hate that matchup. The Chiefs just exploited the hell out of that last week against the Cardinals. As for the Darren Waller, I mean, listen, you and I were both not high on Darren Waller this year. I think I had him finishing as tight end 7 over the course of the year, partially because of injury, partially because of the introduction of Davante Adams. The running game is what's going to be very, very intriguing here. Josh Jacobs had 11 total touches. The game dictated that Josh Jacobs wasn't going to be involved that much because they were down. There were only 16 total touches for running backs between Josh Jacobs and Brandon Bolden. I'm not sure what Bolden's status is this week. Maybe if he's out, that we get a little bit of an uptick. The Chiefs ran the ball really well against the Cardinals. Cardinals defense isn't very good. I do expect a bounce back from Jacobs, but he's more in the mid-range RB2 for me this week.
Patriots legend Brandon Bolden making his way over.
Yeah, forget that. It's Josh McDaniels. Like he took Jakob Johnson as well,
the fullback.
over to Las Vegas. I mean, hey, if you want a job and you're a former Patriot, just go play. There's something about being a Patriot where wherever guys go, whether it be offensive coordinators, defense coordinators, whatever, players follow them. And I know it happens in a lot of cases, but it feels like it happens more with former Patriots guys.
Hey, you're not wrong, right? Brandon Bolden did see, not enough to start him in fantasy, certainly, but he saw a not insignificant snap share, considering he's been mostly a special teams guy for like the majority of his career, or an injury fill-in for the majority of his career. A couple more games to get to, 3 more, all primetime games. So let's get into the Sunday nighter, Bears at Packers. And again, on the Bears side of things, I'm not taking really anything all that seriously from last week's game, because like I said, it was a monsoon. Like there's a clip on Twitter somewhere where they show you guys with shovels pushing the field at Soldier Field down. And it's like several inches of water coming out of the turf every time they just touch it with this shovel. I can only imagine what it was like to play on. I would imagine it's going to be much better conditions for the Bears at Lambeau. Probably not by a lot, because it's a very hostile stadium for any team, much less a division rival. But I basically put everyone who you'd start as a blank 2, right? Like Justin Fields, QB2, David Montgomery, RB2, Darnell Mooney, WR2, Cole Kmet, tight end 2, right? I think there's room for all these guys to produce. And I know specifically for Kmet, he put up a big fat goose egg last week. I don't think that's going to continue with not monsoon-like conditions in Green Bay, but you want to see what normal conditions look like for the Bears before you start really throwing them in your lineups with more consistency.
Yeah, I think Justin Fields, like he kind of salvaged a weird day, like with the two touchdowns. I expect him to get better opportunities to run the ball this week, but I also expect a bounce back from Green Bay's defense. Like, they're not allowing 180 whatever yards like they did to Justin Jefferson. That's not happening. My biggest curiosity lies with the running backs here. David Montgomery handled 20 running back touches last week. Khalil Herbert handled 10. So Herbert's not going anywhere. Montgomery was used in the passing game. But I do want, like Chicago's going to have to throw the ball more this week to stay in. I'm curious to see where Khalil Herbert goes into that when that happens. I think Herbert had one catch. David Montgomery was more involved in the passing game. I believe he had 4. So it's going to be interesting to see how those go. But I agree with you. I'm moving everybody back a peg this week just because it's going to be Aaron Rodgers season tonight in this game. And there's no question about that.
Okay, but who is Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball to?
Well, Alan Lazard is back by all accounts. So I think that helps. So this is what I'm basing all of my Aaron Rodgers stuff on today. So Aaron Rodgers, after a week one loss, is 4-0. He has a 72% completion percentage, 12 passing touchdowns to 1 interception, 325 yards per game, and a 125 passer rating. Ooh. He's going to kill the Chicago Bears, who he already owns, as we know.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. If Lazard plays, and it certainly looks like he will, I think you're starting him. I still would say WR2 just because there are not a lot of other options in this offense, like Romeo Dubs or Christian Watson or even Tonyan. I don't know that you're trusting too many of them to be like the guys who take coverage away from Alan Lazard. But still, Lazard has the rapport with Rodgers, so I think you'll feel comfortable starting him. And of course, you're starting Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. You don't need us to tell you that. Titans, Bills, the big one for this one, we talked about it already. Certainly, Gabe Davis, will he play? Will he not play? Either way, you're still starting most Bills in this one. It's not like you're ever going to not start Josh Allen. You're going to start Stephon Diggs. And if Gabe Davis doesn't play, like if you're in Monday night specifically and you're looking for an injury fill-in, or you put Gabe Davis like in your IR spot or something like that, and you're looking for a fill-in, if he does not play, I don't mind starting Isaiah McKenzie. But if he does play, then you're really just starting Diggs, Davis, and Allen himself.
Yeah, and I McKenzie is an interesting one. If he's not available, you can go look for Jamison Crowder, because I think they're going to split that role probably throughout the season. I would guess that slot role. Devin Singletary is going to get some run. The Titans had a really hard time stopping the run game last week against the Giants. I know that Devin Singletary is not Saquon Barkley. I understand that, but no Harold Landry in the middle of that defense is a big loss for the Titans. Here's another one. If Gabe Davis is out, what does Zach Moss's role look like? He had 6 catches against the Rams. That ranked both second in targets and catches. Like, if Gabe Davis is out, do we see a little bit more of James Cook after that, you know, first carry in the NFL fumble? That didn't look good. I mean, James Cook is who you want to see play in that role and not Zach Moss. But Zach Moss with 6 catches in an offense that generally did not throw to the running back position last year is not an insignificant development here.
You all right? Did you drop something? Like
I dropped my mic. Yeah, I was trying to move it and dropped it. And what else? It's Sunday morning, baby.
Yeah, it's Sunday. The NFL is back. It's Sunday morning. It's true. The Titans side of this conversation, probably a relatively short one because the Bills defense is ridiculous. I think you start Derrick Henry, you have just slightly lower expectations for Derrick Henry. I know you can banish guys to the shadow realm at will, it would seem, but against the Bills defense, I think it probably still an RB1 because he's going to get like a zillion touches today. But apart from him, I'm not starting Tannehill. I'm passing on Woods, passing on Burks. I'm passing on everyone this week just because it's the Bills, but we can have a more comprehensive Titans conversation next week. There have got to be better options for you than a lot of the Tennessee Titans not named Derrick Henry this week. Last game of the week, we'll wrap up on this one. Vikings at Eagles, the other Monday nighter. You look at the Eagles, basically everyone got rushing touchdowns. I think virtually every player on this team got a rushing touchdown, which does not help when it comes to parsing out who you should start on a week-by-week basis. I'm generally speaking just going to wash my hands of the Eagles' backfield, because I think to say that Miles Sanders or Kenny Gainwell or Boston Scott are going to get more rushing touchdowns or whatever than, let's say, Jalen Hurts or each other. That it's just you're guessing. I mean, a lot of this is guessing, but you're guessing even more with the Eagles backfield because it's all a cloud of uncertainty when it comes to who's going to get more touches.
Well, the guy that's going to get the better touches is going to be Jalen Hurts, right?
Yeah,
And Jalen Hurts was QB4 last week. He was really good. You mentioned the running backs getting touchdowns, which Miles Sanders did not have a touchdown. Forget rushing or receiving. He had zero touchdowns last year, so he's already improved in that mark. Jalen Hurts had 17 carries. Miles Sanders was the next closest guy with 13. Gainwell, 5. Boston Scott, 4. I think Gainwell is going to get his usage in the passing game. He had the 4 targets. He turned it into 2 receptions for 12 yards. He had, of course, the rushing touchdown. He had 5 carries. So, you know, 9 opportunities if we include the targets for Kenny Gainwell last week. Miles Sanders had 15 touches last week. It's going to be a split. The best running back on this team is Jalen Hurts, much like in Buffalo, it is Josh Allen. For the receivers, A.J. Brown was a monster last week.
Yeah, that was gross.
10 catches on 13 targets for 155 yards. He was great. Dallas Goedert, unsurprisingly, 3 catches for 60 yards. He was very good. Listen, for those that have Devonta Smith in their lineup, he's not going to put up a dud on 4 targets again. It's not going to happen. I do think that the Vikings are going to kind of key in on A.J. Brown, and I do believe that Devonta Smith is going to get his. I am predicting a Devonta Smith touchdown this week for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Are you going to bet an anytime touchdown on Devonta Smith?
I might also because I might need it in our fan league because I am starting him there. So I'm maybe a little bit more optimistic than most, but he's a good player. He didn't just become a bad player overnight. That's the thing that, like, if you can go out and acquire Devonta Smith for cheap, I would go do that before he has a good game.
Yeah, he is exceptionally talented. Like, there, if he was on a team where he was featured as the main guy, like the guy, I have every belief that he would be very, very, very good. It's just he's on a run first team with a run first quarterback, so this is what you get. On the Viking side of things, I mean, Justin Jefferson, what a monster, right? He is just truly ridiculous. Worth every penny of draft capital you likely spent on him. So you're starting him. You're starting Dalvin Cook. And you're starting Kirk Cousins, I would think, right? Kirk Cousins, generally speaking, was always viewed as that kind of mid-tier quarterback, I would say, Matt. So I think you can start him against the Eagles defense, an Eagles defense that was at times gotten by Jared Goff and the Lions last week. So I think you can feel better about starting Kirk Cousins with when you have guys like Dalvin Cook and certainly Justin Jefferson back there.
Yeah, and the other guy I would add in there was Adam Thielen. I mean, Jefferson balled out 184 yards. That's just gross. I don't think that's going to happen again. I know that's very hot takey. Ooh, he's not going to get 184 receiving yards. Good one, Matt. But I do think that they're going to get Adam Thielen more involved. Listen, the Vikings did a great job of keeping Justin Jefferson away from Jaire Alexander last week against Green Bay. I do not think that Justin Jefferson is going to be able to roam freely like he was again. They're going to have to get other players involved. I would assume that Adam Thielen is going to be that guy. I'm okay with starting Thielen. He's in the wide receiver 3 conversation. And if they get red zone attempts, I do believe that they will look Adam Thielen's way. By the way, don't start Irv Smith. That was a complete dud last week. Ooh. And it doesn't sound like he's going to be involved in the offense too much, at least for the early portion of the season.
Yeah, boy, I picked Irv Smith as my breakout tight end. Oh my goodness, that is not looking good, Matt. Not looking good early on. But hey, week one, maybe that changes. But I'm not gonna hold my breath. We have time for maybe one or two text messages before we go here. I'll throw a couple at you here. This is from Nick in Toronto. He needs a QB: Matt Ryan, Daniel Jones, or Tua Tagovailoa. So Ryan, Daniel Jones, or Tua. What do you think?
I think just because of the options in the passing game, I lean Tua. I just think that I think maybe the floor is low against the Ravens, or maybe lower than some, but I do believe that that he has the better weapons. I mean, if Michael Pittman was playing, I would probably lean Matt Ryan because of the matchup, but I'm going with Tua here.
Yeah, I think, you know what, if Pittman was playing, I'd go Ryan as well, but I'm going to go Tua. We'll wrap up on this one. Simon from Richmond Hill. Davis is questionable for Monday night. On my roster, I have Marquise Brown, Paris Campbell, Russell Gage. Should I bench Davis now for any one of those guys?
Oh, boy. See, the thing with the Davis injury is that it just happened yesterday, and that's the part that scares me. I'd probably play Marquise Brown just to be on the safe side.
Okay, I like that. I might go Paris Campbell just because of usage, but that's not a bad one as well. But yeah, that's Simon from Richmond Hill. And again, if we didn't get to your text messages on the air today, we will get to all of them in a couple of minutes. And you can keep texting in throughout the afternoon until 1 p.m. Eastern. We got to all of your text messages on the People's text line at 590-590. But Matt, thanks again, man. Best of luck in week two. Best of luck beating Riccio this week.
Yeah, I don't think I should have a problem, but we'll see. I mean, crazier things have happened.
It's true. You never know in fantasy football. That does it for the Fantasy Show here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. We'll be back with the Waiver Wire Pod on Tuesday afternoon. We'll talk to you next week as well on Sunday morning from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern every Sunday. Have a great weekend, everyone. Best of luck in week two. You've been listening to the Fantasy Show with Show Alley and Matt Marchese on the Sportsnet Radio Network.